Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you crazy kids, welcome to an exciting new episode of Real Nerds Podcast. Every week, we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw Paddington in Peru. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the kids' movie. We'll also talk about films we've watched throughout the week because we like movies and that's what we watch. You know, and it seems like a long time since I've talked to you, Brad. How's everything going?
Yeah, this getting episodes out in a timely fashion in 2025 is not going great so far.
It is not. So I feel like, I don't know why I feel like I'm so much more busy now. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on in my life, or I just can't get caught up.
Yeah, I thought like as you got older and like you would like your kids being a little more independent, and it just feels like your wife and kids stuff is really being much more prominent. Not that that's a bad thing necessarily. It's just, yeah.
No, I agree. It's not, you know, I'm not.
Because like, I woke up one week and you were like, he's in Vegas. All right. It's because we're not doing the show this week.
Which, I mean, I could have done the show, but, you know, it's just, it's just nonstop. And I try to get caught up and I never can get caught up. And every time I drive, I feel like taking the wheel to a goddamn cliff and touching it. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not going to get any better as I pursue more filming stuff. So, yeah, our schedules are just like screwed.
Don't worry, Real Nerds listeners. We're still seeing movies and we'll get better. I think maybe one day. And you'll be like, oh my God, the Real Nerds. Look at how on time and on schedule they produce their episodes.
Listeners are like, when they started, they were watching the movies on Friday night and then posting the episodes Saturday. And then 15 years later, they just can't get any shit right.
I know. We're pieces of shit, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, but we like to party.
Yeah, and like Fanex was like two months away, so
only well, get... like four.
Is it July or June?
It's July, I think.
Oh, well, still, it'll fly by, and we'll be like, how do we build this camp? Real Nerds, shit.
I know we're gonna have to get together and actually hammer that out.
Yeah,
but you know, I was at the Restore store, and they have free pallets in the back, so.
They want us to take them, so that's good.
Yeah, so that's one thing we can, you know, not have to worry about. So that's good.
So we chop one up and turn it into a picnic table, too. Solve that problem.
Yeah, we can do that. All right, so I was thinking we just use the normal table you use and just put one of those checkered tablecloths over it.
Oh, like the Pizza Hut one?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, or whatever you want to do, Brad. I'm on board. Cool.
Yeah, I came in. I've got so much on my mind. Yeah, I can't.
You know, yeah, you're doing a lot. Your film last night at the Esquire. You started putting out some lobby cards, and it looks great.
Thank you. Yeah. It's technically almost done, except for like one more scene that I wrote. But now it seems like everyone's excited about it, and they're like, hey, so is it going to be a feature? And I'm like, well, it's close to 30 to 40 minutes. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's close, but I don't know what other 30 minutes I could add to it. So, but I'm trying. Yeah.
Well,
it's hard
sometimes when you watch it, you know, and see if you can add scenes or whatever.
Hard to, add 30 minutes of something that you can't get access to anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I guess I could build sets of some of the smaller aspects of it.
Dude, just do what Hollywood does now. Just put a green screen, have your actors up in front of it, and then put a green screen behind it.
Oh my God. What was that? Who did that recently that was like really bad? Oh, Mystery Science Theater. Like the charm of that show was that it was all like real puppets and stuff. And yeah, like the puppets are real, but like even the backgrounds were just junk thrown together. Yeah. Really, really cool. But yeah, like the last season, it was just all them on a green screen. It was like, yeah, not quite as charming.
That's the charm of it. Because even when they would do the establishing shots of the spaceship, they still look like models, but you know, there's charm to it.
Yeah. Yeah, even if it was just like one like lab room or something, it's just I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that expensive to just throw a bunch of junk in a room and make a set for that show.
But I guess it is, Brad. I guess it is.
Even the like later Sci-Fi Channel incarnations, like built like a Roman Senate sets and stuff. So in Planet of the Apes stuff. So I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, we'll see if I spend way more time on this than I should or not.
Well, you know what? It seems like it's generating some nice buzz because people loved that theater. So, you know, it's a good thing. Hey, Brad, do you recommend Paddington in Peru?
I do. It's still the same charming Paddington cinema that we've grown to love.
Nice. I've never seen a Paddington movie until I saw this one.
What?
Yeah.
Because how did Henry not get
bear,
to you?
Dude. Fuck that bear.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare say that. I'm giving you a hard stare.
But I will say that even though I had not seen the other films, this one was delightful. I'll talk about it in a minute. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised about how cute the movie was and how well made the films are. That film is. I haven't seen the other ones. I just heard the other ones are great. Here's a trailer for Paddington in Peru.
Thank you for using PhotoMe.
Oh, not at all. Thank you for having me.
Make sure your face is within the red circle.
Paddington, there's a letter from Peru.
Dear Paddington, your Aunt Lucy.
She's gone, and we have no idea where she is.
She raised me when I was orphaned as a cub.
If you ever get lost, just roar.
I know I can't find her.
It's not as if we can drop everything and fly to Peru.
To inflate your life, Jackie.
I didn't mean now, Paddington.
Welcome to Peru.
Your aunt seems to have set off into the dangerous jungle.
Aunt Lucy would never give up on me. We have to find her.
But the Amazon is quite... large.
Excuse me, sir. Is this boat for hire?
It is your lucky day.
Together. We'll find her, Paddington.
This way. Thank you. Just round this corner. Never touch this plot.
What are you, Bear?
Aunt Lucy always says you can take the bear out of the jungle. But you can't take the jungle out of the bear. Oh. That was close. It's
called a hard stare, Mr. Hunter. And it's for when people have forgotten their manners.
Like the name of the movie, Paddington Bear gets a letter from his aunt. So is she in the other movies, Brad?
I believe so. I don't remember them that well. The first one was like 2014, and the other one was like 2016, 17.
Wow.
So it's been a while since, yeah, we've had some Paddington movies.
And it's been a while since I last held my head up high.
Remember that from the... Yeah, like, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets a letter that his... well, not from his aunt, but from the mother who runs the retirement for bears place in Peru, that she is really kind of sad and she needs to see Paddington. So Padding, having just achieved citizenship in Britain, is able to apply for a passport. So he and the family... what's the family's name?
Good question.
Bro, you're the one who's the Paddington fan.
The Brits. No, Henry's the expert, and he should be here, and he's not.
True.
We'll call them the Britons.
The Britons. The Britonians.
Britonians.
They decide that they're going to go with him, and... it's the Browns, by the way.
easy, yeah.
Yeah, and they set off on an adventure. I'm going on an adventure! And when they get to Peru, they need help getting to where... first, they check in at the retirement place for bears. And
so...
it appears...
What are bears retiring from? Like, what hard work and career are they?
Dude, you know how much honey Winnie the Pooh has to get? Come on now.
I've never seen Winnie the Pooh work hard.
Oh, bother.
For honey. He usually just steals it.
Yeah, that fucking asshole. you don't hear very many people call Winnie the Pooh asshole, but that's what you get on Real Nerds Podcast.
Yeah, take away your Disney card.
When he's there, he finds out that she went off to look for some mythical place. It reminds me of The Land Before Time, you know, that they had to get to the other side of Peru and find...
The green place, like in...
Land Before
Furiosa.
Time. Furiosa. In Furiosa. And so they set off on an adventure. They enlist the help of Antonio Banderas, who... plays Hunter Cabot, and his daughter, some lady. Antonio Banderas' character is conflicted because he is searching for El Dorado, and it appears that these bears, Paddington's family, hold the secret to getting to El Dorado, and it's corrupted his family throughout the centuries. And Hunter has decided to swear it off until he sees a medallion, or the bracelet, I guess, that Paddington has. And when he sees it, then he's on a quest again. I really liked Antonio Banderas' character in this. He was fun, and I like that he played all, I don't know, 7-8 parts. I am going to see the other films now, because there's a definite charm to the world they created.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's bad guys in it, but they're like fun bad, and they're not like terribly malicious. Again, I haven't seen in a while, but like Nicole Kidman was pretty dastardly, I think, in the second one.
Yeah, well, even someone like Olivia Colman, who plays the Reverend Mother in this, like she's bad, but she has like a really fun... like musical number with Paddington in Peru. They seem kind of like cartoony bad guys. They're a little over the top. No one's ever really in that big a danger, but it's just, it's fun to see. And that's what I really took away from this movie too, is it seems like everybody's having fun just being part of the movie.
Yeah.
They're the the way that's edited, the camera, all the actors, it's just everything is really fun in the film.
Yeah.
And this is the point where I wait for Brad to offer some sort of cinematic critique, and he's just sitting there with a thumb up his ass.
I mean, you covered most of it. It's not a deep story, you know. It's Paddington trying to find a little bit more, trying to find his aunt, but also getting a little backstory on, you know, where he came from that the other two movies don't show you. And then, yeah, it's a lot of British cameos after that, fun situations. And we were also joking that, I don't know if you've ever seen Werner Herzog's Fitzcarraldo.
No.
It's this movie about this guy who gets a riverboat and tries to push it through the Amazon, and then he gets to a point where, like, he can't get through the river, so he makes all the slaves on his ship tear down the mountain, like, deforest the trees and, like, lift it up and over the mountain to get to the other side to get back to the river. And so there's a lot of this riverboat action that reminded me of that movie.
Oh, nice.
Our friend coined the term Fitzberaldo.
Yeah, and it also tugs at your heartstrings. The part at the end where he finally gets, he reveals El Dorado, and El Dorado is just a happy place where the best oranges in the world grow. And Paddington shows them how to make marmalade, and the Brown family thinks that he's going to, you know, just stay there because he found his family. And then he says, no, you're my family. I'm coming home with you. And the way the lines are delivered and the way Wishaw's sincerity in his voiceover work is really good. And I go, man, they're tugging on the heartstrings too, you know?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Paddington's all about heart, and yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. I like when kids' movies, far exceed the expectations that I was expecting, because those movies don't dumb down for kids, but they're silly enough where kids can enjoy it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like the characters never break out into a whatever top 40 pop song.
Yes,
is popular right now.
That is always appreciated. Because, you know, that was the thing. I mean, I still see it every once in a while now where you're done with the movie and then it's that love was only true in fairy tales. And you go, what does it have to do with the rest of the movie? But Paddington does not sink to that low. It keeps it classy.
Is your kid tuning out? Let's throw a song in the credits. Wake him back up. A song I know. Yeah.
You know, Kellen loves the Angry Birds movie, and those are rough movies.
Yeah, sometimes I forget I saw that at the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
So there was some distance between me and the movie. So
I could disassociate a little bit.
Yeah.
So people should go out and see Paddington. It's a wonderful time at the movies. It's one of those movies, too, that slowly chugs along. You know, it never has huge box office numbers, but its word of mouth always keeps it strong and going. And it deserves it because it's a wonderful film.
It's usually a better barometer of how good a movie is if survive past that opening weekend. It means people are enjoying it and coming back out to see it or recommending it.
I agree. Yeah, that's about all I got for Paddington. I will say it's cute, charming. I do like the sometimes the script is aware that it's a kid's movie. I can't remember some of the dialogue, but, you know, it's kind of a wink, wink at the audience a couple times. And it's fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, we watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week of March 4th?
Couple recent releases, from last year called A Different Man with Sebastian Stan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As a disfigured man who undergoes an experimental treatment and gets that reversed, I guess. And then he's an actor, and then he meets another person with the same affliction who's doing quite well with it and is not seemingly bothered by it. And so, yeah, his career doesn't take the path that he thought the treatment would lead him on, and it's pretty good.
Did they also have Pearl Jam come in and say, "She loves him, she's in love with him. Can't find a better man."
That would be, since the title's A Different Man, yeah, that would be a weird inclusion. Like, we got a song that's titled close to it, but not quite.
Yeah, that's why I'm not in charge.
We don't want to say the disfigured man's not the better man, or is he? Yeah, I think it's a slow burn, cool movie. I also saw, I wanted to leave so much. It's called Riff Raff.
I don't even know what that is.
Let me bring it up so I can get all the deets. So it's this, where do I start with this movie? There's these two hitmen, Pete Davidson and Bill Murray. And they're tasked with tracking down, I forget, it's Rocco, Lewis Pullman's character.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife killed a bunch of people and escaped, and then they escaped to the forest retreat home of Ed Harris and his family. And Rocco is his son, and they have a not great past. Ed Harris was once married to Jennifer Coolidge, and he has this new family, and so he's kind of like thrown away, kept his old family.
Welcome to your new family.
Kept them away.
That's my Jennifer Coolidge. Pretty great.
Ed Harris was also a hitman back in the day, and so he's tried to escape that whole life, but now it's caught back up to him. And yeah, it was not funny. It was long and boring, and a lot of the conversations are just like them talking about like what they're doing in the room right now. It was a while ago. I tried to forget. It was such a rough. Yeah,
it's so bad. You try to forget what you watched.
Yeah, like parts are just mean, and like you could tell they like want to write jokes and be funny, but they I just did not find the humor in it.
Talent though in the cast.
Yeah, looked fun in the trailer, but yeah, the rest of it's just like dry and bland and over the top, like Tarantino shocking, but with like out any of the cleverness to it.
Mm.
So yeah, like it went, like early on in the movie, Bill Murray and Pete Davidson are like stopping off on the road at this like mom and pop grocery store, and you think they're just like having a fun little like jokey conversation between each other, and then like Pete Davidson or the grocer says something that just sets Bill Murray off, and you don't think it's like a big deal, but he like murders the grocery guy like pretty brutally. You're like, oh, well, this just is like not a fun death, or it's just like it's just mean. Yeah, I don't know. And then like there's also the narrator is like Ed Harris's new kid from the new family, and he narrates in and out, but then like the end of the movie it almost like it seems like the whole thing was Ed Harris's story from the beginning. You're just like, I thought this was the kid's story. Okay,
all right.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's yeah. And then the last thing I saw for this week would be Night Bitch.
Oh, that's Amy Adams.
Amy Adams as
a bitch?
a female dog.
No. No, it's a literal title.
Well, yeah. It's subjective, I think. I think it's basically about a woman struggling with like being a mother in a relationship where the husband acts loving but is not really very supportive. And so her, I think she's hallucinating into like becoming a feral beast. And yeah, it again was kind of boring for me, to where I kind of started to tune parts out and stop paying attention.
That's always a good sign of a movie.
Yeah. Like it might just be because like I will never know womanhood or motherhood.
Not the target audience.
Yeah. Did you ever see Baby Ruby?
Yeah. That was one of the films of we did during the pandemic.
Yeah, I think it's like a less scary version of the same idea. I guess that was more postpartum depression, but I think it's more of just like her husband is kind of a flake and focused on his work, and she's just kind of stuck with the kid and just wants some time away from everything and can't get it. And just, I don't know, wants to run wild with the dogs instead. I couldn't get the metaphor together. So yeah, it was also like a featured film at the Denver Film Festival that I was like, oh, I want to see that. And I don't think I missed it. So, but some friends of mine really liked it. So again, like, I think it's an acquired taste based on your experience.
Yeah. I mean, that's all movies, you know, that's why it's a fun art to discuss, because
yeah,
one person's gold is another person's pith. I don't know.
I like to think that, like, if I watch a movie that I don't have any connection to, that I can still enjoy it. But yeah. This one was not that one for me. So also didn't see it in a theater. So again, like, there's the factor of like, oh, I'm also like thinking about like the movie I'm supposed to be making, you know, instead of like just focused in the dark. So that's what I watched. What'd you watch?
You know, I really didn't watch that much this week, in so much that, so I've been rebuilding some of my Lego sets after I moved, and I've been putting on The Office as I've been doing it. And when you take a break from a show you love for, I don't know, I mean, I'd always put it on, and if it happened to be on and nothing else to do, but to go back and relive character moments from the beginning and have them pay off later, or just realize how great the show is while you're watching it. And that's what I went through with The Office. And, you know, the evolution of some of the characters, specifically Kevin, you know, he became such a fan favorite. And when you go back and rewatch it, you can see why. Because the first season or two, he's kind of just like this. And then about season 3 and 4, he kind of gets his character down. And I mean, I love the episode where Toby leaves and Holly thinks that Kevin is mentally challenged. And she goes up to him and says, "Wow, you have a car." He's like, "Yeah." "I'm really proud of you, Kevin." "Thanks." And then it cuts to his, you know, his confessional. "I am so going to nail Holly." Yeah.
"Trying to decide what I want to eat, but I've only got 10 cents. Yeah. "Well, you can get anything on this row." That's a button, Kevin.
Or when they're doing The Office, no one's talked for 14 minutes, and he eats a candy bar and says, "Oh, yeah."
"What? It's really good." You expect me not to say, "Oh, yeah."
it's just brilliant. Steve Carell, and I was talking to my wife about this, is if it was done by a less accomplished actor, it wouldn't be as good, because he's not a good dude. Michael Scott is such an idiot.
Oh yeah.
But there's moments in it, you know, I think it's season 2 or 3 where he goes to Pam's art show. And he has these moments where he is just super vulnerable. And I think that's why people like him, you know?
Yeah, that's a conscious decision, because The British version, David Brent, is like just completely despicable. And they're like, well, if we want to have like a lasting show, we got to find a way to humanize this guy.
Because, you know, even the one where he declares bankruptcy, there's that moment with Jan on the train where she talks about how she treated him so poorly and he stuck by her. And it's just a great human moment. And so, yeah, it's just a really great show to revisit after there's some episodes I forgot about and character moments. And yeah, just good stuff. It's a very intelligent show.
It's also 20 years old now.
I know. Yeah, I saw today it's 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was watching that show and telling everybody they should watch it. And then it caught on recently. You know, because you go back and you look at, because I was curious, because I've been watching The Simpsons as well, which is also brilliant. The one I watched last night is where Marge is afraid to fly. And Homer says, you know, Marge, you shouldn't be afraid of things as you're an adult. She says, what are you talking about? If anyone just says sock puppet, you freak out. And he goes, he screams and runs off in the distance. It's funny. But yeah, it's been fun. And the only other thing I watched this week is the 4K Blu-ray of The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which came out in 2023, I think. And Scream Factory put out a collector's edition. And I still think that movie is really cool. And I was actually surprised because when I watched it on in the theater, I was like, man, that Dracula is CGI. When I watched the making of it, he's really not. He's some performer. And it's just the way he moves. The only CGI enhancements were to his teeth and his eyes, because they even sculpted a mask. And yeah, so it was kind of cool seeing the making of it. And they built a huge real ship on in Malta, and this huge like movie studio water tank. And so I had new appreciation for the movie. And
I'm surprised you could even see it.
Oh, you didn't? No, it's great.
It's like all black and night and hard to.
Oh yeah. So yeah, well, the 4K helps with that a lot too. The blacks aren't so crushed, and it kind of smooths them out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that at the Mills, and I'm starting to think, based on everything else I've been watching lately, that's their bulbs are just really dim.
Yeah, it could be. Because this one, because I remember that too, but when I was watching it this week, wink, wink, the part where he's on the boat and it's raining, I remember not being able to really see him very well. But as when I watch it on this one, you can actually see him moving in the background a lot, and little more detail to the monster. And it was pretty cool. And the coolest special feature, I think, on the Blu-ray, which, I mean, it's all cool. I love seeing how movies are made. But they had an interview with a folkist. I don't know if that's her title, but she specialized in vampires and Dracula. And she talked about them throughout history and where they came from and why The Last Voyage of the Demeter was interesting. And it was just a really fascinating interview, and not one you expect, you know, to find on a movie Blu-ray all the time. So that was kind of fun to watch.
Man, what if that's what's keeping people away from theaters, is the dim bulbs? Like, they go home, they watch this like really bright TV, and the movies are so much more like engaging. But yeah, at the theater, they're like,
yeah, maybe.
I think I should like this, but it seems dull to me.
Yeah, and I can say too that, you know, since I got my new really fancy TV, things look so much better. Because I got the highest end Samsung you can get. Because now it's, you know, the 65 inch is $1,000 less than when I paid for my 55 inch like 8 years ago. But it makes a huge difference. I've noticed it in video games too. You can see more colors. The refresh rate is so much better. But it's has a smart feature where it knows if it's a movie, so it doesn't do that artificial scrubbing. It keeps them looking like a film. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty nice too. Yeah, that's what I watched this week.
Cool.
Hey, next week it is a return of an Academy Award winning director. We are seeing Mickey 17. Stay tuned for that. That should be fun. Make sure you follow Nebulous Visions to stay up to date with all of Brad's movie happenings.
Thank you. Thank you.
And yeah, till next time, we'll see you at the theaters.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!